Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Step Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. And today's date is Friday, September 30th, last day of the month. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 31, paragraph 3, which begins with, "We do not like to pronounce any individual." Today's readers are Markiana Y. for the 12 Steps, Carrie H. for the 12 Traditions, Leslie M., Dana P., and Kara L. are our text readers today. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Thursday, September 29th is 19465. That's 19465. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is Friday, September 30th, is 19469. That's 19469. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Markiana Y. to please read those 12 steps.
The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, making a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Elaine, we can't hear you.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry. thank you. I'll now ask Terry H. to please read the 12 traditions. Star 1 to unmute, please, Terry. Terry H. Star 1 to unmute, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you now. Thank you so much.
Sorry about that. Anyway, back to good morning. Thank you for your service, Karen. My name is Terry H. I'm from Pensacola, Florida. Grateful recovered compulsive overeater. The 12th tradition of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters suffering, affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service today, and with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Terry H. Appreciate your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 31, paragraph 3, and I will now ask Leslie M. to please begin reading for us.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you so much for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. We do not like to pronounce any individual as alcoholic, but you can quickly diagnose yourself. Step over to the nearest bar room and try some controlled drinking. Try to drink and stop abruptly. Try it more than once. It will not take long for you to decide if you are honest with yourself about it. It may be worth a bad case of jitters if you get a full knowledge of your condition. This paragraph teaches me a bunch of things. Number one, the first word that really pops out to me is honest, you know, and that was the first thing I needed. Even before I got abstinence, I realized that I needed to be honest. I needed to share with people in program, with some people in my family, with some friends, what I was really doing with the food. And so, you know, I got that gift of honesty. I asked and I received. The next thing is that only I, and it talks about it, you know, it says we have to fully concede to our innermost self that we are compulsive overeaters. And I know that I am a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety. Even though I'm recovered for today, I know that I still have this disease. But I finally found out through many years in OA, I was always comparing myself to others. Someone in the meeting would say, oh, I can have a dessert once a week. And I'd think, why can't I have a dessert once a week? So, of course, I would try to have a dessert once a week, and that was a dismal failure. That's like going to the nearest bar room and trying to drink and stop. You know, then I couldn't stop. Then, of course, it was dessert all the time. But I found that I don't need to know anyone else's food plan, anyone else's recovery, or anyone else's abstinence. The only ones that I need to know are my own. you know. So I'm the one that has to diagnose me, and I'm the one that has to follow this food plan. But I don't have to convince anybody. I don't have to argue with anybody. I don't have to have anybody else on my side. I just have to know how to take care of myself. And the other thing is, if I can't decide whether someone is compulsive care or not. You know, they may appear to be. They may be overweight. They may be a lot of different things. You know, even in my own family, you know, one time I was out to dinner with my sister and my nephew, and, you know, I think both of them were compulsive overeaters. But, you know, it was funny. At the end of the meal, both of them were looking at the dessert menu and oh, I'm too full. I can't, you know. And I was just like, I could eat you guys under the table. But that was the point when I realized that although they may each have weight to lose, and that although it may look like that's what they are, I don't know that. You know, so I stopped trying to look at someone else and decide what they look like. It was like I was comparing my insides to their outsides. And so I don't have to do that either anymore. I can simply, you know, if you say you're a compulsive overeater, I take you at your word, because I know that that's what I had to do for myself, you know. But that there have been some points along the way where, you know, I've talked to people and you know, I know that the food is the convincer. I know that the food is what convinced me that I was desperate and dying and doomed, and that, you know, and there have been times where I have said, you know, maybe you need to, you know, try this, you know, this method, go out there, go to a buffet and see how you do, or go and buy all your favorite binge foods and see how you do. I certainly know that if I went out to buy my favorite binge foods, I would buy enough food to stay last 3 days, and it would only last one. You know, so I know that I'm a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety, and then I can take the action. But I have to be honest, and the first person I need to be honest with is myself. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leslie. So we value everybody's experience. We do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others can share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 2 days, and you'd like to comment on this paragraph, page 31, paragraph 3, please press star 1 to unmute. Let me know.
Bruce
Jen
E.
Jen California.
I heard Bruce E. and Jen, I believe.
Jen Z.
Jen Z. Okay, and I heard somebody else come in with Jen.
Sim.
Is it Sim?
Yeah, S-I-M.
S-I-M. Okay, I heard you right.
Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, Sim.
Teresa C.
Teresa C. Anybody else?
Christine L.
Christine L. Room for one more. Anybody else? Okay, great. We'll take more after this. We've got Brucey, Jen Z, Sim. I need the first initial of your last name when you share. Teresa L. and Christine L. Or maybe Christina C., and I can't read my own writing, so you can let me know when it's your turn. Brucey, please share with us. You're followed by Jen Z., and if you're not Bruce, please press star 1 to mute your phone. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thanks, everybody. I'm Bruce E. I'm in North Carolina. I'm from Fort Myers, Florida, and very grateful. Just my neighbor finally got a hold of me and found out my house is still there, so that's great. I lost quite a bit, but the house is there. So that's good. Very grateful. Didn't lose my home. So step over to the nearest bar room and try some controlled drinking. Well, I tried that one, and I stepped over to the nearest bar room and tried that controlled eating for, well, at least 25 years anyway. I tried that controlled eating while I was in the program, going to meetings. I was still doing that controlled eating, you know, dabbling in the red light foods and dabbling in overeating and that kind of stuff. I still want to go there. But I found out that was pretty painful. And there's a lot of pain for me in that controlled eating. Try to drink and stop abruptly. I tried that one, eating and stop abruptly. I couldn't. I stopped abruptly, but then I started again, right? I can't pronounce anybody a food addict, and somebody can't pronounce me a food addict, right? But I can sure diagnose myself, and I is one. You know, I am one. Food addict. The most extreme variety, I am. So I don't have to try all this stuff again, but I still, my mind tells me, go ahead. You know, you might, you know, you can do it. So it'll not take long for you to decide, if you're honest with yourself about it, it may be worth a case of the jitters if you get full knowledge of the condition. It were a case of being really, really angry, a case of really being upset, a case of pain is what it is. There are just so much. I mean, the disease, you know, I don't have to pronounce anybody an addict, because the disease, and I don't have to try to talk anybody into coming in the program or coming back into the program, because the disease will bring, if they're a food addict, the disease will bring them back. If I go out again, the disease will bring me back, because there's so much pain in it. You know, I get, there's just so much pain that it brings me back, you know, so it just automatically, I come back in because there's so much pain. I come in here and there's not so much pain, you know. I get off the food and that's painful, but then, it's a whole lot better in here than all that pain out there. So, thank you, everybody. Thanks for, thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Brucey, and I'm really glad you didn't lose your house. Wow, big
Thank
stuff
you.
Out there. Okay, Jen Z, you're up next, and you'll be followed by Sim. Please share with us, Jen.
Hi, this is Jen Z from East Los Angeles, California, compulsive overeater with a history of anorexia and bulimia. And I just wanted to say real quick that I heard about the honesty, being honest, and I think that's really important. I have a rule that in my program there are no more secrets, because my eating disorder, my compulsive eating, my disease and compulsive food behaviors, it thrives on secrets. You know, when I make little plans about my food and I keep them to myself and nurse these sick thoughts, and, you know, and I'm trying to get my thinking out of that and be honest, you know, with my sponsor and my support team, and, you know, let people know what's going on with me, what's going on in my head, my sick head. And that's being honest, and I think it's really important. And also, you know, it's talking about trying controlled drinking. Well, I tried controlled eating, you know, for forever, you know, and it didn't work out so well, you know, on my own power. It was just left to my own devices, you know. I was in the disease, and still, even today, if I don't, you know, if I don't turn to my higher power, if I don't, you know, turn it over, you know, I can still be in the disease. I can still be in the food. And, you know, that's not a place I want to be at. So I'm a work in progress. I'm working toward, you know, recovery. And I just got a new sponsor, and I think it's going to be really good. And she says I have to share in vision once a week. So, I'll be here. So thank you so much, everybody, for listening. I really appreciate your time and for making this meeting possible, everyone that does service. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jen Z. Appreciate it. Sim is up next, followed by Teresa C. And Sim, will you please give us the first initial of your last name? Let us know where you're calling from.
It's S, and I'm calling from Tampa, Florida.
Thank you, Sim.
Okay, so I'm Sim. I'm a compulsive overeater and a sugar addict. This is my first time sharing in vision. So listening to the reading pretty much brought me back to, like, my entire life. I feel like I've been a sugar addict since I was, like, 7 years old. And ever since I was 8, I've always been going on diets trying to control my eating. And for me, I never saw eating as a problem other than the fact that I was overweight. And I thought every time I lost weight, going on multiple diets, like I've gone, since I was 8, I've tried everything that there is. I would lose weight for a period of time, which would mean that, I can start eating the food again because I can control myself. And then obviously that didn't work till now I'm in OA. But I think the hardest part for being honest with me was to be honest with the fact that I'm not an eater like everybody else, and that I'm different, and that I will never be able to eat like everybody else when it comes to my trigger foods. And I feel like once I accepted that, it was a lot easier for me to let go of the trigger food. But when I was in denial, I just wanted to prove it wrong. And one day when I was at work and I was passing the cafeteria, like that day I had started my diet and I wasn't going to have some trigger foods, but I could not walk past the cafeteria without coming back and having a couple. And then I kept coming back. And initially I was like, oh, I'll just have one bite, but it never lasted with one bite. And then I also, after giving up the food and the trigger food, I realized that food wasn't really the problem. And overeating, my compulsive eating wasn't the issue. It was all the things that I numbed with my eating. And now that the food's not there and I have to face all the problems, I see the anxiety and, you know, the selfishness in how I acted, but I used my trigger foods to numb myself from that. But yeah, that's all I have to share. I'm grateful for being here and thank you.
Thank you very much, Simeth from Florida. Awesome. Okay, Teresa C. is up next, and you'll be followed by Christine K. Please share with us, Teresa. Teresa, okay. Star 110.
Yep, here I am.
Great, thanks.
Great.
Please share with us.
Covered compulsive overeater. And, you know, in reading this paragraph and thinking about it, a couple of things came to me. One was, you know, in diagnosing myself, and this was, you know, many years after being in OA, because I definitely have relapsed throughout my OA career. Well, first thing I remember when I came in, I was like, I don't know, am I an addict or am I not an addict? Am I really a compulsive overeater or am I one of those hard eaters? I'm not really sure. But then things were revealed to me as time went on. And, you know, an incident would be where, you know, one of my red light foods is sugar. And we would be, you know, at a family gathering, and I would have, you know, they would have certain desserts out. And I would sit there and I would kind of, you know, here I am focusing on them, focusing on the food, not on the people, trying to resist and then saying, well, I've never really tasted that. So why don't I just, you know, taste that? And after tasting it, realizing that I, really wanted another piece of it. And the most impressive one for me, which was kind of maybe an aha moment or when I really felt like my higher power was really speaking to me, was another time when I had just gone out and bought some red light foods. And I started eating one and I wanted to stop, but I couldn't. I mean, I just was there, just putting it in my mouth. And I'm like, okay, this is what you call addiction, because I definitely want to stop and put it away. But you know what? I'm not stopping until it's done. That's just the way it is. And when I think back to those days, they're very very kind of frightening almost to think that I was in that situation. But, you know, the good news that I found in Visions is that I really don't have to take that first bite. And, you know, thank you, God, through finding some abstinence for a while and working through the 12 steps, I'm getting to understand what food neutrality is. I don't think I ever had that before. I came to Visions. I never even heard the word, I don't think. It was just a matter of resisting. Thank you. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much for letting me share.
Oh, thank you very much, Teresa C. Christine K. is up next. And then after Christine, we'll take another line of the people that would like to share on page 31, paragraph 3. We do not like to pronounce an individual and ending with get a full knowledge of your condition. So Christine K., please share with us. star one to unmute, Christine.
Hi, this is Christine L. from New York City, actually. Thank you.
Thank you. So sorry about that.
Okay. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you for allowing me to share. I haven't been to this meeting for months. I'm day two of abstinence and let's try to make it day three. So as far as this paragraph, to me, I guess it's not hard for me to identify myself as a compulsive overeater. That was never something I had a problem with identifying. I'm 56, but I know in my early 20s, I started attending OA, and at the time, I don't think I really worked it so much. And until the disease progressed, the 12 steps was something that, you know, introduced me to a higher power, which was something that was great in identifying myself as a compulsive overeater, but I didn't really work the 12 steps. And then until 2018, and it progressed to a place of, you know, just hating myself and just rock bottom. And that was a really, you know, working the 12 steps really brought in just such a peace and a place to live in myself. But then in this past year, I've been really wishy-washy and in and out of relapse. And I have a temporary sponsor for a year and I need to find a new sponsor. So from an honesty perspective, at least identifying myself as a compulsive reader, I don't think that's an issue. Right now, it's just being willing to turn it over, being willing to, just trying to find the willingness to turn things over. I mean, I'm grateful that yesterday, you know, even though I was dying to eat, my issue isn't related to certain foods that trigger me, but when I go to bed and I stream or watch TV, I mean, it just triggers me to want to eat, and I just am fantasizing, and I'm grateful I didn't, partake, and I can say I'm abstinent today, and I'm praying that I can be that way today as well. And I'm taking service positions and coming to this meeting and trying to find, you know, trying to be more consistent with meetings and using the tools. And I know it works when you work it, because I've had the experience for at least 2 years of it working. So I'm just praying, and what reminds me is that, you know, your disease is always, even when you're recovered, the disease is always, you know, doing push-ups up it, you know, and ready to take over. So I just need to make myself stronger, and also figuring out how to turn it over, or being willing to turn it over. I've been praying in relapse. I've been praying, please let me be willing. Please let me be willing. But because it's just always so cunning and wanting to convince myself that it's okay, you can go for that bite that you don't really need. I look at awe at people who don't, you know, who just stop eating when they're full. Thank you. But that's not me. I am an addict with food, and working this program and coming to meetings and doing the tools reminds myself that. And I need to get to a place of, I look forward to getting to a place of recovery, but I just focus on one day at a time and focusing on this 24 hours. And that's what I have. And I'm going to work, do the best with the cards I've been dealt today. And thank you for allowing me to share.
Really glad you're here. Thank you. Really glad you're here. I'm glad you shared, Christine L. Okay. Though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might share their experience as well. So if you haven't shared in the last 2 days and you'd like to comment on page 31, paragraph 3, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Robin P. in Pennsylvania.
Robin
Marcia
P. and
R.
someone. Someone in Pennsylvania and Marcia R.
Jessica C.
Was that Jessica C. in Pennsylvania?
Robin P.
Oops.
Jessica C. in Ontario, Canada.
Okay, so I've got Robin P., Jessica C., Marcy
Alexis.
R. or Marcia. Alexis.
Mary C., Ohio.
Mary C. Did I hear? Oh, I can't even remember what state it was anymore. Okay. Let's see. We have room for one or two more. If anybody else wants to get in this lineup, I've got Robin P., Jessica C., Marcy R., I believe, Alexis, and Marcy C. Oh, actually, maybe I have Marcy in here twice. Is there a Marcia also?
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
Amelia H.
And Amelia H. Okay, Yvonne. Let's see how... Yvonne, if we have time for you, if I made this, if I got these names wrong, there may be time. I'm not sure. Actually, we may not have time for everybody in this lineup here now that I look at the clock. We'll do the best I can, best we can. And so Robin P., please share with us, and you'll be followed by Jessica C. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm currently in Pennsylvania. And we are on our way to Europe today for a 3-month tour of Europe of 22 cities and all of that by God's grace and mercy. This paragraph reminds me of all the hell I went through trying to deny that I was a compulsive overeater, bulimic, anorexic, you know, and try just belling up to the bar. Try this. Try that, and for such a long time of denial, every daily denial, today will be different. Oh, today I can control it. That illusion of control. And, I'm here at my dad's, my dad's 95, and we're visiting, we've been visiting all of our parents for the past couple of months, and I did a lot of binging and a lot of vomiting here. And to be here, having worked the steps for the past 6 years, I've been abstinent by God's grace one day at a time. And, I grew up in so much child abuse. And here is one of the places I was very much abused. And here I get to come and be of service to God and my fellows, and to help my dad, my husband and myself, by helping him and his wife with so many things that they need. And we were so of service with my dad's dad and with my mom, and just, wow, it's been like a service tour. And it's all through the grace of recovery and abstinence. And, it's a dream come true that we're going to tour through Europe for 3 months. And, it's all by the grace of God and abstinence and recovery, working with steps and having a God squad and being part of other people's God squad. And I'm just so grateful, I'm so grateful to have vision for you. I can just hug you all. It's really touching. When I think of how I could be in the same place that I grew up in, so much hell, and be here being of service and being a joyful spirit here. It's just truly a miracle of grace and God. I love you all. God bless everybody with abstinence one day at a time. And I look forward to meeting the people in Europe. So, yay. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. Safe travels. All right. Jessica C., you're up next, followed by Marcy, I believe it is, R. So Jessica, please share with us.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Jessica C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm in Ontario, Canada. This paragraph reminds me of an experience I had where, I came to OA in 2005, and most of that time prior to about a year and a half ago was characterized by relapse. And about 4 years ago, I was really desperate with the food. My family doctor suggested that I try a binge eating disorder medication. I talked to a recovered fellow at that time to get her opinion, and she said to me, well, why don't you try it? And I had expected to be met with resistance and to be convinced that this wouldn't work for me. And she said to me, why don't you try it? But you can always call me if you decide that you want to come back to OA, feel free to call me anytime, or if you decide not to come back to OA. I tried it, and I thought that this thing would allow me to engage in controlled eating, and it never worked. You know, it showed me that I was a real compulsive overeater, because my disease only got much, much worse, and I also had a whole new set of new problems. And it certainly gave me the jitters as well, since it was a stimulant. So thanks to that experience, I really took a real step one for the first time, despite being in OA for, you know, over 15 years at that point. And I feel like, you know, I don't struggle anymore with wondering if I can still have my alcoholic foods. The thought doesn't even come to my mind. And, you know, I did call that fellow, and she did welcome me back, and she became my sponsor. And I want to share, you know, I'm getting married in 2 weeks, and, you know, if I had been planning this wedding prior to that experience that I just described, I probably would be trying to negotiate having some alcoholic ingredients, trying to eat like everyone else is going to eat and drink like everyone else is going to drink on that day, and being concerned about how I would appear to be different. And, you know, I've had that psychic change where that is just not my concern for that day. I know I'm going to be eating differently than everyone else and drinking differently. And that's okay. And I'm more focused on like the joyousness of that occasion, you know, marrying my partner, spending time with the people that are, you know, most important to me, being self-forgetful, focusing on them.
Gentle reminder.
And I'm just so grateful that I can experience that without the noise of the food and trying to eat and drink like other people. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Wonderful. Congratulations, Jessica. Okay, this name, I think I might have messed up. So was there a Marcia R?
Marcia R.
Marcia R. Wonderful. Thank you. Please share with us, Marcia.
Ken, from Washington, this is the first time that I've shared. I've been listening to this meeting, and I feel so grateful that all of you are here and those of you who are providing service. My sponsor reminds me that if you don't share, you wear it. Bear it or wear it, he says. This paragraph certainly does remind me of my history, and it dawned on me the other day that my attempts to try to moderate my food or wish that I was a normal eater really has more to do with my need to, or my fear about giving up food, that I am really afraid of giving it up because of what I think that it offers me. And when I've done some journaling around this, what I think that the food has offered me is really a delusion. Peace, quiet, calmness, it really isn't. It's numbness. It's avoiding everything in my life. And that is not living. And unless I'm able to maintain abstinence, I'm not going to be fully living. I'm only surviving. And so just that change in my mindset of it's not those attempts to try to eat normal, although I certainly wish that that was a reality, it's not. But facing the fear of giving up the food or eating compulsively, and turning to my other coping skills, my higher power, all of you, the big book, journaling, the steps, all of those things is what's going to help me live and not just survive. What I have, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Marcia R. Alexis, or Marcia, I'm sorry, Marcia R. Alexis is up next, and please give us the first initial of your last name. You'll be followed by Marcy C.
Alexis F. from New Jersey. I wanted to say that I think the differences in food plans and abstinence is as varied as there are spiritual experiences, varieties of spiritual experiences. And that's as various as the planets. To me, it means eating balanced and moderate. That's not eating normal. There's a big difference between eating normal and eating moderately and balanced. I do not like salad. It's not something I choose to eat, but it's something that's good for me. It's something that has a lot of ingredients in it that are good for my body. And sometimes I've got to leave it and just not eat all of it because I can't get it down. My mother never made it. There's a lot of foods like that that I can't get down. Most proteins, I like the varieties of religious experience are equal to the varieties of food plans that a person can make for themselves. And it has to be a firm decision. It either works or it doesn't work. Some people choose to weigh and measure their food. Other people can, look at it and eyeball it. And my spiritual experience is different than that. I choose to think of God as a loving, kind father, a very loving, kind father. He doesn't always give me what I want. He has a yes pocket and a no pocket. But his yes pocket, if I consider all the things that he gave me, his yes pocket, and I'm grateful for them, and I'm happier as a person. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Alexis F. Marcy C., you're up next, followed by Jordan L. Marcy? Or was it a Marcia? Okay, maybe this is where I got mixed up before with Marcia R. Okay, Jordan L., please share with us. You'll be followed by Amelia H. Am I being heard? Can I be heard?
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Yes, Elaine.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. Jordan L., are you there? Okay. Let's go to Amelia H.
Good morning. This is Amelia H. from New Hampshire. Compulsive overeater, abstinent for today. I really appreciated this paragraph the first time I read through it with my sponsor, largely because the way that my compulsive overeating manifested in my life has always been around controlling the foods. And after I got abstinent, it was then that my disease came in and said, oh, man, does this mean we're not going to go to, you know, the donut shop and buy 12 dozen donuts and eat them all in one sitting now? Because you said we can't. Just like, wow. I mean, it was all of a sudden, once I went abstinent, that the disease came raging forward in a way that I could finally see it, which was really, really helpful. Additionally, as I was thinking back in my life about the ways that I've overeaten, and I'm absolutely a sugar addict, and reflecting with my parents that, in fact, so I was a C-section, and the very first thing that anybody gave me within minutes of my birth was sugar water. And obviously, I had a predisposition to being an addict. And so I've been a sugar addict my whole life, since the moment I was born. And in addition, found out many, many years later, in fact, only about 2.5 years ago, that I'm allergic to, like, physically allergic to a ton, hundreds of foods. And the way that I would control the fact that I had horrible gastric distress and hives and acne and all these horrible things from eating things that my body is physically allergic to was to eat sugar. because the sugar would allow my body, the dopamine would rage through my brain. And so whatever I was feeling in my gut would make me feel better. And so tackling both of these things at the same time has finally started to give me a level of peace that I didn't know was possible. And so it's incredible to me the way that, you know, this particular paragraph reflects differently in everyone's life. And for me, it was finally coming into a space of abstinence and realizing how I had used sugar my whole life as a self-soothing mechanism, both emotionally, but also physically with whatever else I was eating. So I'm just so grateful to finally that my higher power finally guided me literally step by step into where I am being with all of you today, and working through the steps, and just, yeah, beyond grateful for the ways that God has continued to guide me on this journey. And I will pass.
Thank you so much, Amelia H. And Yvonne D., we have time for a two-minute share. So we would like you to share with us.
Jordan L.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Let's see.
Sorry.
Okay.
I can pass, have, too.
Oh,
I don't mind either.
Okay. Okay, Yvonne, why don't you share for us with us for 2 minutes?
I probably only have about 1 minute.
2 minutes.
So,
please share.
Okay. My name's Yvonne D. I'm from Central California. I am new to the group. I've only been coming about 3 weeks. And it is coincidentally that this morning, speaking to my sponsor, we talked on this very topic. And you know, I'm in the phase where I'm just kind of trying to figure out where I am, who I am in my food program. But I do know one thing. I couldn't do the test. I would fail the test. I couldn't take a chance like that and purchasing binge foods and seeing if they would still be there even at the end of the evening. It would just throw me what I've done over the past 3 weeks. And I'm really finding this journey to find out where I am at my age so gratifying. That I think somebody else said this, it changes, I don't know, for me it even changes my mood. So that's really all I had to share. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Oh, thank you very, very much, and perfect timing, Jordan. So sorry about missing you on that first call. So thank you everybody who has shared, and we're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So will Dana P. please read a vision for you?
Thank you, Elaine. It's been an honor and a pleasure to do service this month. I'm Dana P. I'm in California, recovered compulsive overeater, a purge bulimic. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.